I, Church of Jesus Christ, take you, Jesus, to be my wedded husband, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, till death do us part, according to God's holy ordinance. And therefore, I give you my faith.
Welcome to Beechwood Christian Church Podcast. Mark is beginning a series of sermons entitled God's Goals for His Church. Each sermon is taken from the book of Ephesians. Join us for this week's sermon entitled The Marriage Example, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 through 33. May God bless you as you journey this life with our Lord Jesus.
Good morning. Scripture this morning is Ephesians 5, 21 through 33. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to the wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband.
And all God's people say, amen. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father God, as we look at this passage, teach us and strengthen us in your word. Help us, Lord, to take your word, apply it to our lives, and be strong in you. We praise you. We thank you. Give me words to say that, Lord, you may speak in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we've been doing this series of Ephesians, and as I said before, if you've missed one, there's some CDs out there you could grab and take a look at. But this particular passage of Scripture, we've been talking about the goals that God has for His church. This particular passage deals not only with the church, but also deals with the relationship between a husband and a wife. And it's a good model. If you've ever done premarital counseling with me, very few of you have done that. Some of you have, right? Amen? One amen I should hear. Okay, a quiet amen. You know that I have talked about this passage quite a bit. This is the one that I do use in my premarital counseling. But today I want to look at it in a different light, just a little bit differently. We've been studying about those goals that God has. I want to closely examine the church and our relationship with Jesus Christ. But I remember about 40 years ago, we looked something like this. And that was, that'd be 40 years on June the 17th. I have the right date, right? Yeah, okay, no, I know that. But I remember looking down and seeing the bride coming, and I'm going, whoa, you know, this is great, this is wonderful. and being all excited. Well, let me tell you something, people. Number one, we are the bride of Christ. Amen? We are the bride of Christ. I couldn't believe it. I was looking on the internet about various things, and it said, the church is not the bride. And I'm going, what do you mean the church is not the bride? It's very obvious that Paul believed that and wrote that and encouraged the churches with the idea that we are the bride of Christ. If you look at Ephesians 5, verse 32, it says this. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. The bride and the groom. Very, very simple. He's talking about the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. And he compares it to the husband and wife relationship, or the bride and the groom. Now, Paul spoke about this in other places too. Let's look at some of these. Here we have Paul, the apostle. And he spoke of it in 2 Corinthians 11:2. He said, I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promised you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. You see, Paul believed that the church is the bride of Christ. That's the way it is. And once again, Paul's talking about the church. He's talking about the church of Corinth. Now, that church had a lot to clean up, because that congregation had a lot of problems, and they had some relationship problems, and it affected their relationship with Christ. And Paul wanted the church to be a good bride, a pure bride, a spotless bride. Well, you know that Jesus also used that term. He did. He talked about in some of his parables. If you look at the parable of Matthew 25, let's look at verses 1 through 13. I'm going to read that. It says, at the time the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. Duh. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. And the bridegroom was a long time coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. By the way, the duh was my add-in. Verse 6, at midnight the cry rang out, here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all the virgins awoke, trimmed their lamps, and the foolish ones said to the wise, give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out. No, they replied, there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourself. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him in the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. Sir, sir, they said, open the door for us. But he said, I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. You see, Jesus used this example as a way of talking about his coming. You see, weddings that were done in his culture was done a little bit differently than in our culture. In fact, the groom would leave the bride, and he would prepare to build a home. Now, he would build at his father's place. And sometimes they would just add on to the existing structure. Sometimes he would add a completely different structure there. But when the father said that everything was okay, then he could go and get his bride. It'd be kind of like me. See, I would kind of want to say, I want to hurry up and get my bride, so I'm going to build this lean-to. And okay, we're ready, honey. And the father goes, nope. Nope. And I said, I know, she deserves better, doesn't she? So I would build. And when the father said, it's okay, then I would come. You know, and the bridal party, they had to be ready. They had to get stuff ready. They had to be ready to go. They had to have their oil and their lamps and everything set. Now, they kind of let you know a little bit ahead of time, because what they would do is someone would give a warning, and they would go out right before he would come, and they would say, "He's coming." But it wasn't very much warning. You better be ready. And he was close at hand. Well, Christ used this parable to warn people about his coming and for the bride. And the Jews were not prepared for his first coming, were they not? Many did not accept him. Many did, but many did not accept him. And they weren't ready, and they were left out. And this parable was used when Jesus talked about the end times also. In fact, it's right snap dab right in the middle of his end times talking. Jesus is coming. He is coming, people. We don't know when. It's kind of like the spring. You're right, Ray. It's going to come. And he's going to come. We don't know when. But we're the bride, and we got to be ready. Now, he also said in John 14, 1 through 3, if you look at that passage. And here he's getting ready for his death. And he's trying to talk to his disciples. And he's trying to tell them, you know, do not let your hearts be troubled. By the way, the Son of God movie, if you haven't seen it, I'll encourage you to go to it. It was done very well at that point, especially when they were meeting together and talking. I disagreed with a very couple of things. Judas spit it out of his mouth and left. That's not in the Bible. Okay, but the point was, the essence of it was so good. But Jesus said, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. You see the add-ons? Some, the King James says mansions. And that's okay. That's all right. But the idea is we're with the Father. And we're with our groom. And he says, if it were not so, I would have told you. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. In other words, he's going away. He's going to build it. And then he'll come back, he'll get the bride, and he'll say, let's go. And he says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. So he's clear about that. My Father has many rooms, many mansions, and he's preparing it for you and me. Well, John the Apostle was another one. He had a vision, a revelation. Now, here's where some of the people say, see, the bride is not the church. It is this. And let me read this, and we'll look at it closely. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, and like loud peals of thunder shouting, Hallelujah! For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints. You see, we know who that bride is. Those who belong to him. And he has given us all the tools. Remember in Ephesians, we talked about the tools that God has given to us. That what we need to put off and what we need to put on. The righteous acts of the saints. So it's very clear that the bride. We are the bride, the church. And we stand there. Now in Revelation 21, and here's where they get going. They say, one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Well, people, that's the building. The bride's inside it. We are wrapped around with that great promise of heaven that God has given us. Amen. And when you go on and you read what heaven is like in that description, you realize how beautiful the building that God has prepared for us. It is gorgeous. All kinds of jewels. All kinds of wonderful things prepared for us. And John describes that beautiful city where the saints live. And it's been prepared ahead of time. Well, secondly, let's look at the holy bride. How is the bride made holy? How is the church made holy? Well, Paul explains this in Ephesians. Let's look at verses 25 through 27 in that fifth chapter. Listen to what he says. He says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her," get this, "cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless." God's word is what is important here, people. Because he goes on and he says, that we must be cleansed. We must be cleansed. How are we cleansed? The word. See why it's so important to know this? Because when we don't know God's word, we're not cleansed like we should. We know that we need to know God's word. And, you know, that's why I always say Sunday school is so important, people. It really is. Bible studies are so important. It's where we learn. It's where we can ask questions. It's where we can take the word of God and apply it in our hearts and say, "Lord, cleanse me. Make me what I need to be." Now, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says this. And get this. This is something about the word. The word of God is living and it's active. Oh, I heard a guy say how this book was so outdated. And I recently read an article about a preacher that said, Paul and Peter need to be rebuked. Whoa, by who? You know? The word of God is true. It is active. It is living. Sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. Boy, that's deep. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Wow. That is strong. That's why sometimes when I'm taking this Bible and I read something and I go, "Oh, I'm sorry, Lord, I was wrong." You know? Because that word of God's working in my heart. He's cleansing me. And Jesus is the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. Wow. Well, how about James 1:21? Listen to this. "Get rid, therefore, yep, something was said. Here's the conclusion. "Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." You know, we can fight against the word, can't we? I don't know how many times I heard various sermons on when I was growing up, and I'd get that spirit of, "I don't like what he said," you know? And I would feel that inside me, and I would fight against it. But humbly accept the word of God, if it's the word of God. You don't need to accept something because I say it. Say it, accept it because he says it. That's what you need. God's word. Well, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, it says, "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God." That's how you get born again. God's Word is so, so important. So important. There is a need to get into the Word. Now, that's God's goals for the church, you know, holiness. He wants us to be spotless, to be true, to be faithful to the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us, Jesus Christ. Wow. What a great example for wives. Now here's an example for the grooms, for the husbands. And that's my third point, the loving groom, Jesus. The loving groom. Now I want you to notice a couple of things. That in verse 25, that verse in our passage says that he gave himself up for the church. Paul in the book of Acts said that Christ shed his own blood for the church. Wow. He gave himself up for the church. Doesn't that make the church important? Amen? Christ is willing to die. Verse 29 says that he feeds and he cares for the church. For the bride, the church he loves. He's a good shepherd. He is the husband that provides for his wife. He takes the spiritual leadership that needs to be done. And men, sometimes we've got to step up and be the spiritual leaders that we should be in our homes and in our families. He's the good shepherd. He cares for the wife. You know, if you're a husband, you've got to be a loving husband, loving groom. You got to give yourself up to your wife. You've got to feed and care for her. Got to be the good shepherd. Verse 23 says, the Savior and head. The Savior and head. The head. Step up. Now, that doesn't mean be a tyrant. All right? I've known a lot of husbands that stepped up and they've been tyrants. You know? Hard to get along with. Well, why? Because I say. That's why. You know, that's me. I say. Well, is it because you love your wife? You're protecting her. You're helping her. You're caring for her. You're giving yourself up for her. Wow. He's not a bully. He's not mean. He's not obnoxious. He wants what is best for his family. And he wants what is best for his wife. He shed his blood for the church. Someone once asked me, Mark, what would you do if someone came in to your house? I said, I protect my wife. I would do what I need to do to protect my wife. In conclusion, there's a verse 33 that I think is very important. And it deals with love and respect in that relationship. Love and respect in that relationship. Take a look at verse 33 in Ephesians chapter 5, 33. It says, however, each of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. You know, the psychology says that a wife wants to feel loved. Do you, ladies? I think so. You want to feel loved. You want to feel that your husband loves you. Well, it also says that a husband wants to be respected. Did you know that, ladies? A husband wants to be respected. Those two things are so very important in a relationship, love and respect. Church, do you feel loved by God? how special you are to him. But are you respecting Jesus? Are you honoring him? Remember the wedding vows? Let's think back here a little bit. Because I think these wedding vows can also go to Jesus. That we can say it to him. We can say things like, I, Church of Jesus Christ, take you, Jesus, to be my wedded husband, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, till death do us part, according to God's holy ordinance. And therefore, I give you my faith. Lord, we love you. Amen. We are your church. And we need to enter the relationship with Jesus, that he truly is the groom, and he's coming. Now, verse 21 and 22 says this. It talks about submitting to each other. And in verse 21, he says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Now, so many times we'll read that verse 22. See that, honey? You need to submit. But the verse right before it said, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Right? The bride is eagerly waiting for the groom, Jesus, to come. And that's us. We're looking. Let me tell you, no snow is going to stop him. Nope. No sub-zero weather will stop him from coming for his bride. He's a-coming. Jesus submitted his love to the church when he died. He died for her. He submitted his life to protect and cherish his church. And he took her sin away. Now, church or bride, let's submit to Jesus. Have the two become one? Jesus calls today that we may surrender our lives to him. Have you given your life to him? Have you been a faithful bride to Jesus? You know, if you're already the bride, are you faithful in your service to him? Oh, there's so much to do, isn't there? We need faithful servants. God may be calling you here to serve. Won't you come?
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. Feel free to visit us on our webpage at www.beachwoodchristian.org or come and worship with us. Services at Beachwood Christian Church are located at 12950 Easton Street, Northeast, in Alliance, Ohio. Sunday morning worship begins at 10:30 a.m. Sunday school for all ages is at 9:30 a.m. We'd love to have you come. May God bless you and your family, and may we look to Jesus as we journey through this life.